Attention, patriots. Broadcasting from the Free Zones, Radio Free Redoubt begins in 5, 4, 3, 2...
Patriots, this is Radio Free Redoubt, episode 1902, the second podcast of 2019. Hopefully you guys had a great week, a blessed weekend, rounding things out here for this weekend and getting ready for yet another week. This is going to be a very short show tonight. I just got in from occupied territory. So I got in much later than I thought I was going to. I was actually over in Western Washington on the other side of the wire. And I went to Glenn Tate and Shelby Gallagher's home. And it was really cool. It was just, it was a quick turnaround. Left Saturday morning, was expected to leave super early Sunday morning and just got out of there too late. So I got in, racking my brain on the way back into the Free Zones and trying to think, you know, how I wanted to approach the show because I've been thinking about it all week. And then by the time I got in, it just wasn't enough time to do everything that I wanted to. But I'm excited about the Prepper Expo. Shelby says that it's going. I got the dates and I got the information. We're going to get all this to you guys posted on the internet or on the website, radiofreeredoubt.com. But the Prepper Expo, it's called the Puget Sound Preparedness Expo. So write this down, the Puget Sound Preparedness Expo. If you're in the area, really looking forward to seeing you. I will be teaching at least one, probably two workshops. I'm going to be talking about emergency communications, prepper communications, very basic, and then your intermediate slash advanced, or what we talk about, more strategic level communications. So that's the Puget Sound Preparedness Expo. That will be at the Baymont Inn and Suites in Bremerton, Washington. The dates are, the date is March 30th. That's a Saturday, March 30th. Put it on your calendar, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. And I don't know if I got more information coming in right now. Nope. Someone just felt compelled to tell me they had fresh salmon and sugar snap peas sauteed and kicked up a notch with some Parmesan. Excellent. Okay, I haven't eaten dinner yet because I've been traveling and working on the show. So now I get somebody's update on what they had for dinner. Darn, that sounds good though. Okay, so I was looking for some updates from Shelby, but that was it. I needed the location, and she just sent that to me. So you guys got that now, and we'll be posting that information on the website. Now, while I was over there, I got to have a tour. Lady Liberty took me on a tour of the Washington State Capitol building, and this was a special treat. I'd never been in there before. I'd never been to the Capitol of Washington. Of course, Eastern Washington is in the American Redoubt, but Washington State is right now, they're under the rule of Western Washington until Liberty State's born. But it was fascinating. If you guys get a chance to visit your state capitals, if you haven't done so already, I strongly recommend it. It's just fascinating, and there's a lot of history about your state. But I got to see the legislative building and where the house meets and sits and where all the business is conducted. And as I'm walking around looking at this, I mean, you know, we look at Washington, hex, cross, how leftist and communist and everything else it is. But it wasn't always that way. And it's sad to me When I look at, you look at the Constitution, for example, of Washington State, they've just departed so far from the roots. And we have as a nation, and this is a good example. I just want to read to you the preamble and the beginning, some of the amendments of the section Article 1 from the Washington State Constitution. And many of the constitutions across the United States, the state constitutions, read very similar. But the preamble says, "We, the people of the state of Washington, grateful to the supreme ruler, capitalized, deity, the supreme ruler of the universe for our liberties, do ordain this constitution." So they're giving their thanks, their gratitude toward the supreme ruler of the universe, God. For what? For our liberties. They're recognizing our liberties come from the supreme ruler of the universe. They come from God. That's where our liberties come from, not government. Right there in the Constitution. So the government can give and take away liberties. Well, they would be able to if there wasn't a higher power, but there is, and the people of Washington State recognize that. And under that banner of gratitude toward the supreme ruler of the universe for their liberties, they ordained the Constitution, which outlined many of their liberties. Section 1, political power. All, listen to this and see if our governments at the state levels are following this premise right here, right off the bat. Section 1, political power. All political power is inherent in the people, and governments derive their just powers from the consent of the governed and are established to protect and maintain individual rights. What are established? Governments. And their powers are established. They didn't just come out of thin air. They're not natural rights. Natural rights don't belong to governments. I mean, there are natural rights, or I should say duties of governments. But the rights belong to the people. The governments derive their powers from the people and establish to protect and maintain individual rights. They're not there. The government was not established to enforce global treaties. The state government was not formed to take land away from people under the auspices of environmental policies. They are established to protect and maintain individual rights, such as land ownership, such as your rights as parents over your children, such as your rights of your conscience, not to be violated for your religious views. So they have completely gone against what they were originally even established for. The very purpose of government is to protect and maintain individual rights. That's it. It doesn't say individual rights and maintain roads and plow the roads and. They have one function, one purpose. Now, they have multiple functions, of course. We pay them to pave our roads and maintain those roads and to plow them. But the bottom line is they're established to maintain and protect individual rights. So when the Attorney General threatens charges, criminal charges against an old woman who runs a flower shop for refusing to sell flowers to someone which would violate her moral conscience and her religious principles, he is charged with and takes an oath to protect her individual rights and instead violated them by threatening criminal charges. How many people have been threatened with the loss of their land? It's your individual right to use and enjoy and dispose of your property any way you see fit, if you own it. And how many people who own their land have been threatened for not following environmental justice agreements made at the international level in backdoor meetings with closed door meetings and agreements that are made to stifle the use of and enjoyment of your property. And they are enforcing those in violation of your rights, further violating their fundamental role and that is to protect. That means to intercede on your behalf by going after the person violating your individual rights. So, yeah, this goes right down the line. This is interesting. Oh, freedom of speech. Every person may freely speak, write, and publish on all subjects, being responsible for the abuse of that right. Well, that's a novel idea. But when we talk about the Attorney General helping to enforce edicts which violate the individual rights, well, they took an oath, right? I'm reminded of this. Well, Section 6 covers oaths. Section 6. The mode of administering an oath or affirmation shall be such as may be most consistent with and binding upon the conscience of the person to whom such an oath or affirmation may be administered. Okay, so they're required by the Constitution to take an oath, and the words in the oath must be binding upon the conscience of the person who took the oath, who administered the oath, and who took it. So let's take a look at the oath. The governor, lieutenant governor, secretary of state, treasurer, auditor, attorney general, you're not exempt, superintendent of public instruction, commissioner of public lands, and insurance commissioner shall, before entering upon the duties of their respective offices, take and subscribe an oath or affirmation in substance as follows. This is what their oath says. I do solemnly swear or affirm that I will support the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution and laws of the State of Washington, and that I will faithfully discharge the duties of the office of whatever office they're in to the best of my ability. They take an oath under the Constitution. They must take this oath, and the Constitution states that it must be binding on the conscience of that person. If they're not, they're in violation of the law. If they go against the Constitution, they're in violation of the law. The law, the Constitution is the law. In fact, they even state that in one of their principles. Oh, number one, right off the bat, section one. Section 2, supreme law of the land. The Constitution of the United States is the supreme law of the land. I had a debate with another patriot, a libertarian, who said, no, the Constitution allows the government to make laws. The Constitution is not law in and of itself. I said, oh, you're wrong. If the Constitution is not law, it can be changed. It's like if gravity is not a law, we can just float if we want to. But there's laws. There are laws that you cannot change. There's laws of physics that are what they are, and they cannot be they can be overcome, they can be circumvented, but they can only be dealt with. They can't be ignored. The supreme law of the land is the Constitution of the United States. Now, these are the same kind of people that are trying to push for immunity and protection, amnesty for illegal aliens, for example. But what also is interesting is in Section 6, no, wait, where does it say? Section 8 says irrevocable privilege, franchise, or immunity prohibited. No law granting irrevocably any privilege, franchise, or immunity shall be passed by the legislature. Now, they haven't passed this in the legislature to give immunity from the law to certain groups of people, but they're trying to do it without the legislature. They're trying to do it administratively to make Washington a sanctuary state, or Seattle a sanctuary city, or Spokane a sanctuary city. So making your city or your state a sanctuary state, essentially you're applying immunity to a group of people from the law. After taking an oath, you would uphold and defend the Constitution, stating that the Constitution you're pledging to is the supreme, the United States Constitution is the supreme law of the land, and that's that supreme law of the land, the U.S. Constitution, grants the authority to Congress to pass laws. So thereby you have to also adhere to the laws, and they have the right, and they have passed laws which govern the immigration to define what is illegal and what is legal immigration. So there's all kinds of unlawful activity that's happening right here in Washington State. And it's just sad to see this, how far they've departed from what made them who they are, what made how they started out, their heritage, I should say. So I just thought I'd share that with you guys. Like I said, this is just going to be a really short show. I'm going to wrap stuff up. I didn't have any time to get all of this, all my notes pulled together from the week and my thoughts and all of this stuff. But I did want to talk about goals. And so I want to wrap up with this. I've got a little bit of time. So there's a couple things I want to go over here. I've been talking about setting goals for 2019. And I was hoping to be able to get to that. And so I guess what I'm going to do is just skip ahead and get right down to the heart of the matter. There's a great article that was written by Sam Culper from Forward Observer. And he wrote the five imperatives for the preparedness community for 2019. Well, we've got the article linked from RadioFreeRedoubt.com or from Amron.com. And that'll be in tonight's highlights and resources posting as well. I want to encourage you guys to read this. I'm going to go into it more in depth next week. And then I have my own thoughts that I want to add to this next week. Some really encouraging things. He talks about, you know, stop training and start developing skills. And he says maybe this imperative comes down to a game of semantics, but the volume of time you spend training cannot be a metric for skills development. I understand what he's saying. I would add more to that. I'm going to further refine that, I guess, next week. We're talking about training versus practicing. What he's talking about really is just practicing and not really training. What we try to do is both. You may have to practice with your equipment and your gear so you understand it, so it becomes second nature for you to operate your equipment. For example, emergency communications, ham radios, and so on. You have to practice with that regularly because you forget, how to, or you don't keep software programs updated and things like that. Now, so practicing is one thing. Training is when you practice with your equipment in a way that you would use it in a real world emergency. That's when you cross the line from practicing to training. And so he's saying stop training and start developing skills. But I would say that those, I'm going to expound on that next week. But it was a really, really good article. I'm going to share with you a report from some patriots in the heartland who did an emergency SHTF communications preparedness outing, including communications. He gave a brief update on that, and I'm going to share that with you guys next week. That was from Echo November 01. Really encouraging. But I wanted to just jump real quick right to what I want to say, my imperatives for the listeners here, for the redoubters, for the patriots and preppers in the listening audience. Now, I believe that we're on a trajectory for the collapse. It doesn't mean, you know, the living dead or something like that. I'm talking about our nation, our political and social landscape is changing and it is collapsing. So when that all comes to a head, we want to be effective in rebuilding that which represents what the founding fathers had in mind. You cannot do that. I cannot do that. We cannot do that unless we know where we came from and we know who we are. So we need to understand our heritage and our history. So I started on this last week. I'm going to briefly go over these for you. I'm going to give you an assignment for the month of January. So first of all, last week I talked about reading your Bible in a year. Join me in this. There's plenty of programs on the internet. Just do internet search, read your reading the Bible in a year plan, and you'll get a whole bunch of them. Find one that fits you, that seems to fit you the best, and how you would like to go through it. But in some form or fashion, one way or another, and I have to admit, I have a read the Bible in a year plan that I've been going on 3 years now because I haven't been able to get through it in 1 year. But that's okay. If you can do it, great. But if you can't, just keep plugging away as much as you can, as often as you can, and try to get as far along as you're able to. But if you can do it in a year, then great. I expect at the end of this year, I will have the Bible read all the way through. Okay, so that's your heritage, your history, your heritage and your history. You'll learn about that. But our American heritage, during the month of January, here's your assignment. I want you to begin by reading the founding documents of the, even if you've already done it, the founding documents of our country, the United States. I want you to read those, unless you have done it just real recently. If you did it that one time 5 years ago, that doesn't count. I want you to read the Declaration of Independence in January, tomorrow. This week, I want you to read through the entire U.S. Constitution. These are available online all over the place. Download a PDF of it and start building a file of these things. You're going to read the Declaration of Independence, the U.S. Constitution. And then I want you to read your state constitution as well. Now, if you get through that in January, you should have no problems with that. And you are feeling ambitious and you want to jump ahead into February, part of February, then here's your bonus. Read the Federalist Papers and the Anti-Federalist Papers. These were letters written between several members of the Founding Fathers who were drafting the Constitution, and their arguments, their writings for making their cases for adding or not adding certain amendments to the Constitution, and why they thought some were so important and some were not. So you will understand the intent, the purpose for each of those amendments and the arguments surrounding those. So you understand that it will put you inside the mind of the drafters of the Constitution, of those who were debating it and arguing about it. So that that text that prevailed, that ended up being in the Constitution, you understand why. So when the government, when a court says you can't own this certain firearm because it clearly has no sporting purpose, you'll understand that's not what the Founding Fathers intended it for. Was for sporting. It wasn't about deer hunting. It was about the security of a free state against tyranny. And you'll be able to apply that type of knowledge to all of the components of the Constitution, especially the Bill of Rights, when these guys debated and argued this. So in February, you're going to read the Federalist Papers and hopefully the Anti-Federalist Papers. And also in February, if you want to jump ahead, George Washington's two speeches, his inauguration speech and his farewell speech. And we'll put links up to those for you guys. But first of all, there's your American heritage assignment for January. By the time you're done with January, just to wrap things up, the Declaration of Independence, the U.S. Constitution, and your state constitution. That's not too much to ask. I think it's ambitious, but it's completely within the realm of a realistic expectation of myself and of all of you. Sound good? You want to do that with me? We'll do it together. Maybe you know what? I might just record those and put them up as audio files, kind of like audiobook by John Jacob Schmidt. The Declaration of Independence read by John Jacob Schmidt. Maybe I'll do something like that and put together a little audio file. But I don't want you listening. I want you reading. I want you to read the words, print it out, and read it. And feel free to underline and highlight things that might jump out at you. But there you go. So we'll go ahead and wrap things up, guys. Like I said, short show. I'll be working on other goals and imperatives. And my comments on Sam Culper's excellent article, but the five imperatives that he put up, and encourage you guys to go and read that. So be checking the website for updates. Give us about 48 hours to get all the links and everything added to the highlights and resources posting for this week, episode 19-02. With that, you guys have a great and blessed and safe week. This is John Jacob Schmidt, and this is the voice of the American Redoubt. Good night.